The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse,
a beast.
We're told in the Book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan. Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
From the overheated heartland of America, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, and welcome to the bunker, everybody. We're getting ready to head down to Branson.
Yes. And we're getting out just in time because the National Weather Service says we'll be under an excessive heat warning here in central southern Illinois for the next week.
Do you really think we're going to outrun this heat?
We might get...
No, it's going to follow us.
Yeah, more than likely. But the plains have been suffering through it last several days, and the next week or so should be really hot here. Probably hot there, too, although I've been checking, and I don't see the excessive heat warning for Branson, so... Maybe we'll be...
I think Branson tends to be a little bit cooler than the surrounding terrain simply because it's sort of in the mountains.
Well, let's hope.
Well, at least that's how I remember it. I have not been there for over 30 years.
Yeah, neither
I went there when I was 3 years old. And if you believe that, Sam's got chew sticks for you.
Yes. And if you know what a dachshund is like when he with his chew sticks, you know that ain't happening.
Good luck getting them.
That ain't happening. Well, anyway, meanwhile, as we prepare for the trip, and we are really looking forward to it. This is going to be a real blessing for us. I pray that it's a blessing for everyone who attends. We're looking forward to our presentations, actually getting those out of the way so we can actually go and...
I don't know that I'm looking forward to my presentation. I enjoy talking about that topic, but I'll be happy to get... You know, I told you that when I used to audition all the time for opera and music theater that I always wanted to be the first one.
Mm-hmm.
So I get to be the first one in Branson.
That is it, yeah. And get that done and then just spend the rest of time just talking to people and meeting
just
people.
Just relaxing after that.
Yeah, futurecongress.com if you want to check for more information. Meanwhile, the United States, if we believe what our elected leaders tell us, is looming ever closer to a massive economic collision, the likes of which haven't been seen since who knows when.
Last election
cycle. Dogs and cats living together. Disaster of biblical proportions. It's a bunch of hoo-ha.
I know it is. We have been downgraded, according to Weiss, W-E-I-S-S, down to, well, C-. Which is just above junk status.
Hey,
oh, there you go.
It's passing. Excellent. <Woo. laughs>
Time to bring in the tomatoes.
Oh, brother. Yeah, the Chinese debt rating agencies are threatening to downgrade the U.S. debt as well.
Oh, that's okay. The Dalai Lama was at the White House. We're going to be okay.
Yeah, what an interesting way. He wants to bring in the Dalai Lama. Why? I'm not sure, since he's supposed to be a religious leader, not so much a political leader, although he really is a political leader.
He being the Dalai Lama.
The Dalai Lama.
Not Obama.
You sure?
Yeah, well. Mm.
But he sneaks him in the back door, and he didn't even bother to put on a tie, according to the picture at on the web, because he doesn't want to irritate China any more than China's already irritated. And the Chinese are already kind of cheesed, because if we're going to print money in a quantitative easing 3 or QE3, that means that the, what is it, $1.something trillion of debt that they hold in or
let
U.S.
out
treasuries.
That belt one more notch, buddy.
Exactly. We pay them back with devalued dollars. It's like they're not getting a plus sign in front of their return. Their APR will have a negative number in front of it, and that doesn't make them happy. So, understandably so. But it's a bunch of positioning, you know. And posturing by both parties, really. The Republicans, who are all concerned about the debt right now, weren't so concerned about it when George W. Bush was doubling the debt during his 8 years. Of course, President Obama has doubled it again. It's an exponential increase, you know, because he's doubled it again in like 2.5 years. It's like watching 1984 unfold. The parties switch their positions mm-hmm. depending on who's in the White House and how they can get political gain from it.
It is the story that never
That's right.
ends.
Barack Obama voted against yes. raising the debt ceiling when George W. Bush asked for it, and now he's insisting that catastrophe looms if we don't get
well,
it done now.
So. I'm sure there'll be more. Hey, yeah. though, important news.
Yes?
Casey Anthony did get out. She was released just after midnight local time, and it's said that she may be on her way or has already arrived mm-hmm. in Ohio.
Ohio, huh?
Apparently that's where she was born. I don't think her parents live there now. They live in Florida. Of course, I kind of doubt that they want her there.
Well, depends on who you ask because, you know, of course, HLN has become the Casey Anthony channel. You know, I used to like Headline News back when it was Headline News.
I loved it because you could tune in. You got 20 minutes of actual headlines.
Right.
You could sort of catch up on the news.
Get a read on the day.
Yeah.
And there is no news channel that's doing that anymore. They've all gone to personality-driven opinion shows. There is, and of course, you know, the news, you can argue, is not objective regardless of the source. Okay, fine. But at least Headline News
except
back
ours.
In the day. That's right. Except Headline News back in the day at least gave you news on a 20-minute news cycle. And every 20 minutes, they'd repeat the news. And so you could tune in, 20 minutes, get caught up. And mm-hmm. they've moved away from that. Now it's all personality-driven, just like everything else. And I wish there was a cable news channel out there that was just doing headlines again.
I would love that. Wouldn't that be great?
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Who knows? Maybe we'll go back to that someday.
Well, not unless somebody figures out they can make money doing it. I guess this is what drives the news, because if Headline News, HLN, excuse me, wasn't making money selling Casey Anthony, they wouldn't have had Jane Velez Mitchell and her
like
entire
CMT
crew.
CMT used to be country music television.
Right, and MTV used to play music videos, and VH1 used to play music videos. Yeah, no, we can't do that anymore. Sigh. We sound like our parents' kids these days. Dag nabbit!
Hey, do you have a smartphone?
Well, I've got one smartphone. One is kind of stupid. It makes calls.
Poor thing.
It makes calls, but it doesn't do much else. It's just kind of, aww.
It heard that. It's in the other room. I heard that.
It's actually in my pocket.
Now I've got mine, too. It's, well.
You should probably turn it off, just in case.
I think I better turn mine off, too, just in case.
But, yes, smartphones.
Well, you know what? I'm just reading an article here that says that the we're shutting off our phones. It essentially is saying that the technology behind the Kinect, that gaming system,
mm-hmm.
is a precursor of what we're going to find when all of these technologies, your smartphone, your gaming system, get in the cloud and they actually begin talking to each other. And the reason I'm bringing this up is this is the kind of stuff we will be discussing in Branson,
mm-hmm.
because this sort of chipset, you know, party that's going on between all of these, among all of these devices. According to this article, is it actually, here, connectivity to the cloud, a smartphone must have, expands the brains of a robot by allowing for nearly limitless information.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it can grow as much as it wants to. It can evolve as much as it wants to.
Yeah.
It's Lawnmower Man, except it's your phone doing it.
If we've learned nothing from sci-fi television.
Exactly.
It's that this whole concept is a bad idea. Skynet led to the Terminator. Battlestar Galactica, the Cylons. The Cybermen of Doctor Who. It's just not.
Wrong. And they
the Borg. It doesn't end well. Next, you start with a smartphone, interconnected. The next thing you know, there's a shiny thing at your door saying, you will be assimilated.
Honey, the Apple phone's knocking on the door.
Dinsdale!
Yeah, it's... you know, and it, what's interesting, and Tom Horn made this point at the conference in Canton, Ohio, that there are those who are very pro-singularity, who are pushing toward this technological apotheosis, who admit that they're not sure if this is a really good idea.
Did they hear singularity or singulaire? I don't know. It really helps. I take it in. I can breathe a whole lot better.
My COPD is a lot better. I don't know. Could be. But that's the direction we're
headed. No, the singularity is a very, very dangerous destination.
Mm-hmm.
And the great thing is that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back before that happens.
Yeah.
We're headed there.
Mm-hmm.
The technology is really headed there. And honestly, I think the technology exists to take us very, very close to that. You know, there's this old idea of if you can get to a destination by taking a step, then half a step, then half a step, then and you never, ever get there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're taking a step, then three steps, then nine steps, then it's becoming crazy.
Yeah, and it you can make a good case that this fulfills the prophecy of the last days when knowledge will increase.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, God is going to shorten these years, and he may be, in fact, just hiding certain events. Time, the space-time continuum is just going to bend around us.
Mm-hmm. Like the, oh, like
you have something on your back.
Another Doctor Who reference for those of you playing the home game.
What are you? What will you be?
Great episode. But we've lost 97% of the listeners.
Well,
you know, you're right. There is some interesting technology out there. And we talked about this the other night, and unfortunately, I brought this. I saved this on my other instant saving thing. Yeah, I'm losing nouns.
Honey, I see them. They're dropping out of your ears.
Yeah,
quick, put the headphones on.
It's it's very similar to a short story written by a friend of ours called "The Time Camera."
Yes.
In that it uses lens. Now, it's a little different because his concept was based on entangled pairs. But there is technology out there that is being developed that uses lenses to speed up and then slow down or vice versa the speed of light. MIT has been working on this for some time and shown that and other universities around the world have shown that you can change the speed of light.
That's a very interesting by changing effect.
By changing the medium through which light passes. In this case, physicists at Cornell University in New York have designed lenses that change the speed of light. And you use the first lens to focus light in space focus light in time, essentially, so that it magnifies and then compresses it again. And when it comes out the second lens, you've essentially in between these two lenses created a hole in time in which any event sitting in that space is unrecorded. And you know, and I my mind is having trouble getting wrapped around this.
The funny thing is that you and I talked about this on Friday night, and I'm sitting here thinking, we've talked about this. When did we talk?
Yes,
it was Friday night.
On a View from the Bunker,
right. If you didn't listen to View from the Bunker, I showed up the second hour. You never know.
Yes, she
what's
could be.
What's going to happen? I could be anywhere.
Savoir faire is everywhere. Yeah. Just interesting as to how things are developing in this world. You know, with devices like this out there, and we've said before that we believe when information about things like this come to the public, the attention of the public, it's already 20 years down, you know, mm-hmm. in development somewhere mm-hmm. in a deep, dark laboratory for DARPA. You've got things like this out there, and you've got we were watching the other day, some on Twit TV, some sports game that EA Sports was developing.
Oh, yes, it looked
football.
So real.
And it wasn't even the new Madden game. It was like the second most popular football game, but it looked absolutely real. And, of course, they were all computer-generated people. We've seen some amazing things in the movies with computer-generated animation.
Well, beginning
animation.
With The Lord of the Rings, those huge battle scenes, most of that was CGI.
Mm-hmm. So,
and we're not talking about just the large elephantine creatures. We're talking about expanded numbers of soldiers on the field that were just CGI.
The battle of outside of
Helm's Deep.
Helm's Deep, but also the one where the riders of Rohan come down over the ridge.
Oh, outside the White City.
Outside the White City, man. So, what is real anymore? I mean, what is real anymore? We can see video evidence introduced in a court case, but how do you know? I mean, just forget about the CGI. The fact now that you can actually essentially wrap a cloak around something and bend light around it so that it effectively disappears, and now apparently bend time around something so that it effectively disappears. How do we know? What is reality?
Well, that's just it.
Or what reality is.
Well, we do know that we can believe in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
We do know that he has told us many things that are going to happen in the last days. So we can take those things and we can take them to the bank.
Yeah.
Or actually, we can not take them to the bank. Bank is probably a bad idea.
The last thing I took to the bank was Barack Obama's promise to get us out of Iraq first thing. Because he said we could take that to the bank. And
yeah,
I'm still waiting to cash that one in. So
yeah,
anyway, that didn't work very well.
Well, forget it. He doesn't issue checks. Because Grandma, nope,
yeah.
You're not getting your check, Bubby.
Yeah, unless we raise that debt ceiling. We owe too much money, so we have to borrow more. Or we can't...
Loosen up that belt buckle.
The fact that he could actually say in an interview that 80% of the American people
are behind
support
it.
The idea of a tax increase to raise the debt ceiling, you know, to pay off the debt. He's
either out of touch,
yes,
or a real big liar.
Yes. I mean, even for
Or he's being lied to.
Or he's being lied to by his handlers.
Touch.
Right. You can't get 80% of people to agree on anything.
No. No, you can't.
I mean, when a president wins an election with 60% of the vote, that's considered a landslide.
Yes.
But the fact is that according to, CBS Associated Press poll, 69% of Americans oppose raising the debt ceiling. So how could 69% of us oppose raising the debt ceiling and then 80% of us support a tax increase? That makes no sense.
No, it doesn't. It really
pants
doesn't.
Pants on fire!
Come to the pants! Come to the pants!
So anyway.
Tick reference there.
Yes.
You know what the new craze is? You know how we've talked about planking?
Yeah.
Not plankton, but planking.
Yes,
you know,
planking.
The taking photos of yourself lying face down with your arms to your side.
Rigid like a board.
The new one is owling.
Oh.
Crouching like an owl.
Perching.
Perching.
Yes.
And looking off in the distance.
Like an owl.
Like an owl.
And then posting the picture to Facebook.
And posting that picture to Facebook. So I think we're going to have to get a picture of Sam owling. Not howling, but owling.
Yeah,
He's got the look for it.
Yeah.
And, you know, interestingly enough, this is just in time for the Bohemian Grove activities that feature
a giant owl. Mm-hmm.
Which is not the least bit funny.
No, because they call it Molech.
Yes.
Which God had some very choice words about Molech in the Old Testament. I was surprised as part of this study that I was doing for the chapter I've contributed to the next book that Tom Horn is publishing coming out around Halloween.
We can't tell you anything more about that because if we do, you'll see pictures of us online owling.
Yes. Planked.
Planked.
But I was really surprised at the very strong condemnations that the Lord had for Molech and his followers, because Molech was the god to which the Canaanites and the Phoenicians, apparently, Carthaginians, used to sacrifice children by passing them through the fire, basically roasting their children. A hideous sacrifice. But it was, you know, he not only said it to Moses, you know, circa 1500 BC, but he was repeating those prohibitions to prophets like Jeremiah about 700 years later.
He had to keep repeating it.
Because it kept on happening.
Yes.
Hundreds and hundreds of years. How many thousands of children?
And that's the amazing patience of the Lord. I know when you read the Old Testament, you see, okay, if you do this, then I'm going to kill you.
Yes.
Or I'm going to take you out.
Right.
Or I'm going to cut you off. But his patience over and over again, even though they did all those things, that he still would, you know, okay, I'll give you another chance.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going to have to punish you.
Yeah.
But I am going to give you another chance. And ultimately, he gave us the ultimate chance in Jesus Christ.
Absolutely, a redeemer.
Yes.
And despite these repeated mentions in the Old Testament, spanning about 700 years or more, saying, don't do this, those who follow Molech, don't do this. You get a bunch of rich guys about 120 years ago who set up a club and think that it's a great idea to name their big stone owl Molech. And to this day, some of the wealthiest and most powerful in the United States and the Western world go out there and have a grand old time.
we could find what Nixon had to say about it, but you know what? He was there one summer.
He did. He went. He had some choice words to say about it.
I think he went because he knew that if he wanted to continue in politics, he'd better go.
Yep. You got to press the flesh.
Well, speaking of following really strange ideas and people and leaders, Have you seen this story, Tyrell, 03, I think, is what his name was. Tyrell.
Yeah.
T-E-R-R-E-L-L. Right.
Was that? Mm-hmm.
excuse me. There's a story today. Actually, no, I'm sorry. July 10th at the Southeast Missourian SEMO down in Cape Girardeau.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a Dr. Byron Glenn who lives there in Cape who, according to Tyrell, has been part of his crew getting ready. This is Tyrell L. Croft. Tyrell's last name is Croft. This crew that's been getting ready to host hordes of people who are getting away from the comet Elenium. And everybody's hiding, supposedly, down in caves in
the Ozarks.
The Ozarks, where we're going.
Lots of caves in Missouri.
Yeah, well, we're probably not having the Congress in the caves.
No.
I hope not.
Well, you know, at least we're close by if something should happen.
We will be. We'll have to see if Tyrell is there. Because supposedly he's already ducked out and gone down there. And this Dr. Byron Glenn has been contacted by the Southeast Missourian to ask, how come, are you really buddies with Tyrell L. Croft? And
Do
you really, you know, been helping out, getting all these preparations in place? Because there are some people who are saying that Croft is a con man.
Well, and that's entirely possible.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Well, Dr. Byron Glenn is not the least bit happy about this.
Especially when he's got people showing up at his family practice. You know, he's a physician, and he's got people showing up at his practice with their bug-out bags, apparently.
Where do we go? He's been harassed and threatened by doomsday believers of Planet X. Now, Derek and I have really... We've not taken a stand on Planet X. We've talked about it. We've talked about Elenium. We've talked about whether or not it's Nibiru coming back, whether it's another sun, whether it's, you know, what is it? We've had a lot of opinions, and we get emails about it. Honestly, we have not, I have not formed any kind of, okay, doctrine. This is what this is. It's coming. There is something coming.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we're going to end up on, what's the movie that Deep Impact that this is being compared to? I don't know that we're going there or not. But I do know, again, I'm going to bring you back to biblical prophecy. We're still here when Jesus comes back.
That's right.
We're still here at the end of the thousand-year reign.
Mm-hmm.
The earth is still here at least a thousand years into the future. The earth upon which we live will still be here.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, whatever is coming at us is not going to destroy this planet.
No. There's a day when the earth will burn and the elements will melt in fervent heat, according to Peter. God will pour out his wrath upon the earth, but we are told that that there will be a new Jerusalem here.
Mm-hmm. That is, at the very least, 1,007 years in the future.
At least, if not longer.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, Paul and some of his disciples in the first century were looking for the imminent return of Jesus Christ. John, at the end of the first century, wrote, "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus." So we say the same thing, but who knows? It could be another 2,000 years. It could be longer.
We don't know.
It feels like it's not going to be that long.
It feels like it's coming very, very closely. And if you take a look at Scripture... prophecy, it looks like we're right at the edge of it all. But
the bottom line is that no man knows the day or the hour. No man can know the day or the hour. And anyone who says otherwise is probably selling something.
Probably. I wanted to find where here it is. I watched as he opened the sixth seal. This is in Revelation chapter 6. There was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. The whole moon turned blood red, and the stars in the sky fell to earth, as figs drop from a fig tree when shaken by a strong wind. The heavens receded like a scroll being rolled up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. This is a description of a very scary scene from a movie. But this is real.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens? The kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, and everyone else, both slave and free, did what? They hid in caves.
Right.
and among the rocks of the mountains. Mm-hmm. They called to the mountains, and the rocks fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come, and who can withstand it?
Yeah, so those hiding in the caves are on the wrong side, at least according to that scripture.
Yeah, and it some manuscripts say his wrath. So at the very least, it's either God or God and his son. Hmm. A lot of anger coming out that day. And it's the anger that the Lord, righteous anger, mind you, that the Lord has held in check for millennia.
Yep.
It is not going to be a pretty day. But
no.
Terrell, 03, Elanine is not going to destroy this earth. Just so you know.
Yep.
And if you've got a smartphone and it's, you might want to see if it's turning on you.
Yeah. We talked a little bit on Friday night about an event coming up August 6th in Houston at Reliant Stadium. Governor Rick Perry of Texas is promoting this called The Response. And Sarah Leslie and the Discernment Research Group at heroscope.blogspot.com have written a series of articles about this, which are important to read because this is turning out to be a big event, not just because a potential candidate for the Republican Party's nomination for president is leading this event. If you go to theresponseusa.com, you'll see Governor Perry there talking about why we need this event, but because it's being endorsed now by prominent evangelical Christians. Jim and Shirley Dobson have now come out and endorsed this. It is being endorsed, interestingly, now by the leaders among the New Apostolic Reformation. C. Peter Wagner. He is, of course, the top of the pyramid of the Apostolic Council. What is it? Not the New Apostolic Reformation, but there's an Apostolic Council of, his group of...
Pancakes?
His group of capital A
Sorry,
apostles.
Sorry, I can't hear IHOP without thinking about pancakes.
Yep. And the International House of Prayer in Kansas City, which was the group that basically birthed this movement. It is where the Kansas City Prophets came from, groups, guys like Paul Kane, Rick Joyner, Mike Bickle, who still heads up the International House of Prayer, basically repackaged old Latter Rain heresies. And this has developed into through the work of guys like C. Peter Wagner, John Wimber, into the New Apostolic Reformation. They believe that God has chosen them to rule planet Earth. They will be God's government over the rest of the Earth, and they seek political power so they can take dominion over the planet. The frightening thing about this, and again, I don't believe that anyone who's so closely allied with these people is actually going to ever win the White House. But what they will do is they will draw well-meaning conservative Christians into supporting this theology, this heresy. We are not, as Christians, called to claim political dominion over planet Earth. It is not our job to go forth and smite the unbelievers. Jesus does that when he returns at the head of the heavenly host,
yes,
the heavenly army. But Rick Joyner, in the statement... Now, we played some audio from this on our program last week, but in the written statement published at the website here, some problems are beyond our power to solve, and according to the book of Joel, chapter 2, this historic hour demands a historic response. Yes, America needs to repent and turn to God, but no, Joel chapter 2 is the chapter that deals with the avenging army that goes forth and looks an awful lot like, and I would argue that it is... The army of locusts released from the pit in Revelation chapter 9. The army that follows its king, Apollo, or Apollyon.
Mm-hmm.
And these Joel's army types either don't understand what they're reading in Joel chapter 2, or they do.
That's the really scary thing. They
yes.
may well understand it. I'm not so sure Rick Perry understands it.
I would suggest that he probably
that
doesn't.
I suspect that he's a suit that's just trying to get elected.
Yeah, that's probably true. But there's some really good stuff here. It's far too much for us to get into here in just a couple of minutes. But the Discernment Ministry folks have just done an excellent work. The three or four most recent articles on this, they go through and document from the writings and the speeches, the sermons of the guys connected to the International House of Prayer, with what they really believe. And they truly see a new breed rising up, a new breed. In fact, Paul Kane went so far as to say, compare abortion in the United States to the attempts by Pharaoh in the time of Moses and Herod around the time of the birth of Jesus Christ to preempt the coming Messiah by killing all the babies. Pharaoh didn't want Moses to come, or the enemy, devil, didn't want Moses to come, and so they prompted Pharaoh to kill all the babies. Satan didn't want Jesus to be born, so he prompted Herod to kill all the babies in Bethlehem. He believes that abortion in the United States is Satan's attempt to prevent a new breed of children from coming up who will constitute Joel's army.
What, the indigo children?
Perhaps. A new, different DNA, a new breed.
This is really scary, and it's very, very much akin to what I'm going to be talking about in Branson.
Yes, yes, I know. And that's why I wanted to make sure that we got to this in the program today. And this is what the International House of Prayer and these churches aligned with this new Apostolic Reformation, this Joel's Army movement, believe. They believe that there is a new super race that is coming up, raised up by God to do his will on earth. To begin with those inside the Christian church who disagree with them, which means that we would be the first ones against the wall when Joel's army starts to march. And then they would go forth and take out everyone else and reclaim planet Earth so Jesus can return. And Rick Perry, and the reason we mention this and connect this to Rick Perry is because the International House of Prayer is coordinating this event at Reliance Stadium in Houston. So I encourage you, and I will put links to these in the show notes because it's important reading to understand what's going on here. This is the mainstreaming of the new Apostolic Reformation, the mainstreaming of this heresy within evangelical Christianity that believes that we are to rule the earth. Capital A, apostles, capital P, prophets. It is a heresy. Don't buy into it, and we as Christians need to stand against this and reject it.
So, what's next? Oh, I know what's next. The story from Salem News, that's actually a story out of India. We've talked many times on our shows about Monsanto. And
their
weaselly plans to rope farmers into using only their seed that is Roundup Ready.
Mm-hmm.
In India, this, and in small other third world countries, this has been causing farmers to lose everything they have, owe Monsanto all of their money, mm-hmm. and end up killing themselves over it.
Yeah.
In India recently, rather than killing themselves, when a high-ranked official from Monsanto showed up after weeks and weeks of problems with getting the seeds and then the seeds not being the right ones. And when they did plant them, they only half of them came up.
Mm-hmm.
And they replanted it again, only half of them came up. When this high-placed official showed up, they beat him up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not a good situation over there. These are genetically modified cotton seeds that did not perform according to the recommendations given, and they're suffering financially, and those folks live pretty close to the edge.
Organizations like that are intentionally trying to push the world into famine. We're hearing these stories saying, you know, you're better off if you don't eat a whole lot because you'll live longer. And now there's a story that came out last week that says, don't drink 6 to 8 glasses of water. You're going to really be better off if you just drink 2 or 3. You're a lot healthier if you drink less mm-hmm. water. Don't
yeah.
drink that 6 to 8 that everybody knows helps you to lose weight, helps you to maintain good kidney function, and makes you feel better overall. Your skin is better, everything, when you actually drink 6 to 8 glasses
you
of water a day.
You have less back pain. You sleep better. Yeah,
everything.
Just lots of things, right.
No, we're being told to consume less food, consume less water.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I think they're trying to starve us.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, it is interesting that all of the population control methods that well-meaning philanthropists are funding and financing seem to be aimed at brown people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because brown people compose the majority of the world, and we're talking about not just African Americans, but also Latinos and Indian people.
Well, and people and in the third
Thai
world.
Thai people. Yes, it's pretty much, sorry, did I say not just the third world? But it is okay, essentially right, right, the entire right. third world.
Yeah. And us white folks, Caucasians. And not just here in
hey,
the
U.S. Hey, it's coming to us, too.
But in Russia.
It is coming to us, too. Those of us who are, well, in the eyes of those who are very wealthy at the top, old world money, old family money, mm-hmm. old bloodline
right,
money.
Right.
We're just
useless eaters.
We are. That's just, hey, look.
It's like the Georgia
I'm not going to stop eating those Krispy Kreme. Stop it.
That's right.
Refuse to.
Interesting news.
I'm living my life.
Interesting news from Pakistan or Afghanistan. I'm sorry. I get the stands confused. There are so many and we're in all of them.
Ali Stan.
Yes. That's another fine mess. The bodyguard who assassinated the brother of President Hamid Karzai in Afghanistan apparently had been working very closely with U.S. Special Forces and the CIA.
Is that the one who had the bomb in his hat?
No, this is a fellow named Sardar Mohammed who shot
Ahmed
Karzai.
Oh, this
Ahmed
was the priest
Karzai.
Who died from the car.
Yes.
Sorry,
yeah,
sorry
no.
wrong person.
Now, this was Ahmed Karzai's bodyguard.
Who had worked for the CIA.
Right. Now, according to the story, the way it's reported in the Western media is that he had been working for the CIA and for...
Rupert Murdoch.
everything but. Yeah. I mean, that would have been really bad. No, he'd been working for the CIA and U.S. Special Forces, and then he shot Ahmed Karzai, because they said he was turned by the Taliban after he'd been working for the Americans. How do we know? I mean, he could have been working for the Taliban before and planted inside the CIA or inside the Karzai administration as a mole.
Hasn't, no, no, and refresh my memory. Hasn't Karzai's brother been sort of a black sheep, the Billy Beer thing, except it's been with Poppy Fields?
That's not really covered in this article, and I don't know that.
Well,
for
let me
fact.
Look that up while you vamp.
Ahmed Karzai. I think this is interesting that the news is saying that he had been working for the U.S. before he was turned by the Taliban. But again, how do we know it wasn't the other way around, that he was working for the Taliban when he was hired on by the CIA or by the U.S. Special Forces as this trusted bodyguard for Ahmed Karzai? How do we know?
Well, we don't. That's just it. And I was right. He's been accused of having something to do with the drug trafficking out of Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's very possible that this has more to do with the flow. The spice must flow. The flow
According to this, perhaps the best known trafficker is President Karzai's brother, Ahmed Ali Karzai.
Uh-huh.
A Newsweek article described it this way. He, the president's brother, is the unofficial regional governor of southern Afghanistan and leads the whole trafficking structure.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this may have had more to do with drugs than with anything else.
Possibly, but maybe he. I don't know. Maybe he was trying to get out, or he just didn't want to play ball.
Because every time you try to get out, they pull you back in. So the story is that he was acting out of character the last few months, and so I guess that's how they determined that he had been turned. But, there's a lot more going on there in Afghanistan than what the media reports, and not much of it has to do with bringing democracy to that land. A lot of it has to do with contracts of various types and, of course, keeping that heroin trade flowing, because there are far more poppies being grown now
must flow
than there was when the Taliban was in charge of that nation. And this is the thing that really frustrates me, and I think a lot of Americans are finally reaching this point. We keep hearing that we need to stay in Afghanistan because if we leave within 2 years, there will be no sign that we were ever there. That the systems that we have put in place, that the political and social structures that we tried to build there will fall apart. And so we need to stay.
It's the occupation that can't fail, like a bank that it can't be allowed to fail.
I guess. That just absolutely makes no sense. I mean, if we can never leave, then... I mean, what is the point? We are essentially there propping up a government that...
We are nation building.
Except we're not building anything.
No, I know. Yeah. I know. We're nation nothing.
It's a lie. And Americans are spending... To use a phrase, and this is really interesting, blood and treasure, which is a phrase we've been hearing a lot lately from the members of Congress and from our president over the last few months. Turns out there was actually, and I have to give credit where it's due here, the No Agenda podcast. which is hosted by one of our favorite guys in the old tech TV days, John C. Dvorak, and Adam Curry, the Podfather, the guy who actually co-developed the RSS code that allows you to download this program and others like it directly to your iTunes.
So if you don't like the show, blame him.
Yeah, they host a an informative show, a little blue sometimes. Adam needs to watch his language. And it's not coming at things from a Christian perspective.
Oh,
but
hardly.
They do catch a lot of stuff that would otherwise slip by.
Their content is so similar to ours.
Yeah.
It's just not from a Christian worldview.
They just watch a lot more C-SPAN than we do. Mm-hmm. But there, and I'm sorry I didn't have this in front of me because I didn't know I was going to go here. But one of their listeners actually sent them a link to an abstract of an article, a paper that was published by some respected psychological journal on how to get Americans to buy in to the concept of the long war. And that may not have been the intent of the paper, but that's essentially what it
was
comes down to.
Was it from that website, The Long War? Because there are some scholarly papers at that website.
TheLongWarJournal.com.
Yes.
No, I don't think so. It was actually published in some, you know, Journal of the American whatever, whatever, and said, you know, if we use phrases like blood and treasure, people will understand that we've got this, you know, this commitment to it, and they are more likely than to understand the need for the continued commitment. And it's frightening when you think about it, but essentially it's what you'd get if you focus grouped a bunch of people. What could we tell you? What could we tell you to get you to support the ongoing occupation of a country on the other side of the world with no natural resources except for heroin poppies? And you know, it's playing to our patriotic pride, the blood and treasure of our nation.
Well, and there's an article that just came out 5 hours ago.
Yes.
That uses that phrase.
Blood and treasure. Mm-hmm. And you keep hearing that. And they played an audio clip that was a montage of top officials, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and a number of other voices that you would recognize from Congress using that phrase over and over and over again. It's a psyop.
Yes, exactly. It's almost like someone sent down talking points and said, okay, from now on, whenever you guys have your talking heads or you write your articles and you refer to Afghanistan or Iraq, it's the long war and blood and treasure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's how they're selling it to us.
And it is the long war. It is the long war. This is not a war that's intended to ever end.
Mm-hmm.
Now imagine that. Every grandchild you have will go to either Afghanistan or Iraq or Syria or Libya or Pakistan or Iran.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or Somalia or Yemen.
Yes.
Sudan.
Yes.
Or, yeah.
Because it will not maintain, we will not retain the volunteer-only army. You can bet that either we're going to be awash in ads to join organizations like Blackwater,
mm-hmm.
or there will be a draft.
You know, it's not all that different from the way the media was portrayed and the patriotic memes that were perpetrated through the media in that movie.
Starship Troopers.
That's exactly it. Starship Troopers.
Starships, sorry.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking Doogie Howser, no. Neil Patrick Harris, Casper Van Dien.
Yes, they were in that.
Yes, they were, but I couldn't think of the
name.
But
in order to
Starship
vote,
Troopers.
You had to serve in the military.
Right. And every time they showed the media was perpetrating this meme. The enemy is evil, so join up today. For more information, click here. And that is right. That's how it's going to be sold to our kids and our grandkids, if the Lord tarries. No.
Oh, well, we need to back up this equipment in just a few minutes.
Yes.
In fact, we'll pack it up now.
Yeah. So we're getting ready for the future Congress and looking forward to, now, God willing, and it is with a strong internet connection, we'll be hosting with this very equipment and some new microphones that we were
blessed to buy because of your help.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, the 21st, 22nd, and 23rd, I've got invitations out to many of the workshop presenters to set up some roundtable discussions. And heard back from a few of the folks, but there's a lot of folks out there who haven't gotten back to me yet. So we may be improvising on the fly, but hey, that's how we do the show most of the time anyway. So.
And the only one that really complains is that fly. He just hates it.
That's right. Well, and Sam. Because he doesn't like having his routine messed with.
He doesn't like flies anyway.
So, you know, if we can't get the live stream, and this would, of course, be at our Blog Talk Radio channel, blogtalkradio.com/PID radio at 10 p.m. Central Time. That's GMT minus 6 on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. But if we can't get the stream to work, if it's too skippy or buggy, we'll record the sessions and upload them as podcasts anyway.
Well, keep following our feed at Facebook, PID Radio, yes. And you will find out because we'll post it there.
Yeah. So if you're going, we look forward to meeting you. I understand David W. Lowe will be there, as well as the presenters and everyone who's on the schedule. There's also another fellow there, Douglas Hamp, who's going to be there, who was interviewed by Rob Skiba a couple of weeks back on his Blog Talk Radio show, Revolutionary Radio Project. And some fascinating stuff.
Oh, I know. And I love it because these are people who are really trying to seek out truth. And when I say that, I mean capital T. And we all are missing the mark. Mm-hmm. But the only way we're going to come closer to it is by, you know, trying. So anybody who's really trying, who really loves the Lord and is trying to figure out what the gospel and what the Old Testament says to us, what prophecy is saying to us, mm-hmm. good on them.
Yeah, amen to that. So if you'll be there, we look forward to meeting you. We will not have a PID radio next Sunday, I don't believe, because we'll be in the process of getting packed up and ready to head back to Illinois.
Yeah.
So it'll be a couple of weeks before the next PID radio, although there will be plenty of things we'll be recording for future distribution via the web, via DVD.
You're not getting rid of us that easily.
That's right. You can only hope to slow us down, to contain us. You can't hope to stop us. So until the next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content, copyright Gilbert House, and is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear. A better day is coming soon to get us out of here.